Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Martin. So Martin, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Dan, thanks for having me. My name is Martin Hutting. I live in Cape Town, South Africa. A beautiful weather, beautiful place to be. And I'm a Microsoft 365 consultant. I've been for a little bit more than 20 years. So we help organizations roll out, deploy, manage, build on Microsoft 365. We've been doing that for the last couple of years since the product has been available. And we're currently building a product that sits on top of the Microsoft 365 stack, SP Robot. So that's kind of a dual role. We do consulting on the one side, and then I've actually been focused sort of 80% of my time for the last year on building SP Robot, which is the product side of things. Yeah, in a nutshell, that's what I do.
Awesome. So in terms of Microsoft 365, so how did you even get into that in the first place?
So we started playing around in 2003 with we were busy doing a backstory to this. We were implementing schools administration software. So I was driving around as a salesperson, a little business. We just started a little business with the three of us and implementing administration software at public high schools, primary and high schools. And we would go and, you know, implement and run the software. And as part of that implementation sort of process, we started playing around with the Microsoft products that were available at the time. There was a product called SharePoint. It was then called SharePoint Team Services, which was the very, very, very beginning of collaboration software at that stage. Collaboration software was not really a thing in 2003, like, you know, Zoom and Slack and Teams and all that didn't exist. And we found that SharePoint was really useful, and we realized you can actually build like a little intranet inside an organization with SharePoint. It was very early days then, like I said. We started playing around and we started building intranets. And soon we were busy building intranets for small companies and medium organizations. And then eventually we started building intranets for corporates. And we built the largest intranet we built based on top of SharePoint, 55,000 user organizations. So fairly large scale, proper enterprise level. And SharePoint then sort of became one of the core foundations for what became Microsoft 365. So Microsoft started realizing that they need to make all of this available in the cloud. And, you know, it was sort of 2004, 15, roundabout then. Up until now, the core content storage location for everything inside Microsoft 365 is SharePoint. And we just became like the experts in SharePoint. So we got all the SharePoint experience since pretty much 2003, so 20 years worth of experience. And that's became our bread and butter. And we became known as the guys who do SharePoint, our team. And our team has sort of stayed, you know, pretty small over the years, but we've focused on that SharePoint and everything that surrounds SharePoint from a platform perspective set of.
Awesome. So in terms of right now, I mean, what's your ideal customer profile for both, you know, your consulting business and like also for this new venture that you're spinning off as part of your business?
So it's actually in some ways from similar, the two markets, but some ways a little bit different. So for the consulting side, let me start there. So we don't like to do work necessarily for really, really large enterprises. There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of lead time, a lot of investment you have to do in the sales pipeline. You know, it could take you almost up to 6 months to a year to, you know, get the first payment in for work that you did within corporates. So corporates are a different animal to work with. We've got a lot of experience with corporates, but we found that our sweet spot with clients is actually for consulting is companies that are smaller parts of corporates, so smaller parts within corporates, sometimes actually even the holding companies for a corporate. So typical examples you'd have this 55,000 person organization, they've got a holding company, which is, you know, the group management structure of that, which is 800 people. And within that 800 people organization, you can get a lot done pretty quickly. There's not as much red tape. There's obviously large budgets, et cetera, et cetera. So we found this niche for ourselves in these like high-end sort of group holding companies. And we find that it's building the contacts and the network within those kind of companies it's all about relationships is the way that we would get business, for that kind of that customer persona. So that's for the consulting. Consulting is quite a tricky thing to run profitably at a small team size. It's not an easy thing to do, but we've got a fairly good recipe for that. For the product side, it's a little bit different. So the product is aimed at companies that really struggle with content sprawl and, you know, just keeping tabs of what workspaces get created within SharePoint and Teams, within Teams and SharePoint. It's actually Teams is the focus. We did a bit of a pivot to that in the middle of the year. And that typically is a problem that you find in a bigger organization. So we know that it's not a huge problem within like a 300 person org, but it starts becoming a problem in a 500 person org, and it starts becoming a really big problem in a 1,000 person org. So even though we are aiming more towards enterprise, we're not fully enterprise focused with the product either. I think the markets always differ. Depends on whether you're speaking to a North American person or not. For European and South African markets, the market's obviously quite small, but in European terms, often in the kind of clients we serve, 5,000 people is a fairly sizable organization already. In American terms, that's not very large. So we like to think of ourselves as, in North American terms, mid-market. That's our sweet spot for that. And in very often in European terms, fairly large organizations already, or medium to large organizations, not quite the full enterprise level. So that's kind of the split between the two.
So in terms of like your product, can you just talk deeper more about the problem that you're solving? Because you mentioned it varies based on organization size, that people are using Teams. So what kind of problem are you solving with this product?
So one of the things that is very characteristic of how Teams works is that Microsoft makes it as low friction as possible to create a new team. Now, teams are containers typically in most organizations for files and conversations. That's the Slack way as well. I think with Teams, it's a little bit more integrated because your file storage sits inside SharePoint, which is very, very tightly tied to Teams. So Teams and SharePoint play together really well. They're really, really integrated in the way that people manage what we call workspaces. So typically a workspace, you'd spin up, create a workspace to work on a project, or you'd have a workspace that's ongoing for a department or for a specific team or for a group function. There are many different kinds of workspaces that exist out there that organizations use. The golden thread throughout is that because workspaces are so easy to create, Microsoft tries to make it really easy, and they've made it really easy to get the adoption on their side. Of course, they're going to do that. They want people using it very, very interactively. But the result of that, the flip side of the coin, is that people just have ended up creating just hundreds of workspaces and containers for files and conversations just all over the place. That's fine initially, but after a while, you start realizing that as soon as you have more than three or four places that you could potentially put your work that you're busy with, you don't know which one to pick, and you just go and create a new one because the three or four that are there, I don't know, so let me just create a new one. And that just exacerbates the problem. So you end up with thousands upon thousands of workspaces. I mean, we looked at a scenario recently where there's an organization with about 50,000 people. They had about 60,000 workspaces in their org. That's more than one per person. And most people would open up a list in Teams and see what workspaces they have access to and have like 100 there. Now, no one can practically make sense of 100 workspaces in a list. So what we do is we make it possible for administrators to control how those workspaces are created and what workspaces are created, and ensure that only the ones that are actually relevant for specific departments are created. So you slow down the creation process, you put a bit of friction on it, and you also make sure that the workspaces that are created are fit for purpose, that they actually are designed by, for example, the department head. If it's an HR person, would go and design an HR workspace to be used by HR staff, and it looks a certain way, it behaves in a certain way, it's got a certain structure. And if you're in HR, that is what you create. You create an HR workspace, and you don't create something that's meant for finance or fits the purpose for finance. So we put all these rules, and we use a combination of templates and governance rules to enable you to create a fit for purpose workspace and ensure that only the workspaces that are necessary are created. And then we'll also help control the workspaces that are already there, do a bit of analytics on it, figure out what's still relevant, what is actually being used, what is outdated and stale content, and enable you to control that and keep that sprawl, what we call this content sprawl, to an absolute minimum. So that's what the tool does. We're busy gradually building it out, but that's the sort of purpose of what HP Robot does.
Well, so for HP Robot, I mean, there's probably still like a level of consulting that comes into play, because I feel like people might not even know that they see like the value of the tool, but they probably just might need your guidance to get them to understand how to best use the tool. Is that correct?
Yeah, 100%. It's something we see. It's a high touch product. If you look at this in the SaaS space, it's not we will eventually, I'd really like to get to a point where we've got a product-led growth, a PLG product. But for the time being, I think just by its very nature, it does involve that consulting. You're right. And we know through the manual consulting we've done before we've had the product in place, we know how to do that work, and we know how to put those structures in place and how to help people with that. But we're going to need to sort of work on how do we transition the product into that, how we combine the experience of that consulting and the product together. But quite right, it is a combination of onboarding people onto the product, helping them get maximum use of it, and then, you know, checking in with them regularly to see that they get the maximum value from it. So it's a high touch product from that perspective.
So as of right now, how many customers do you have for the product?
So we had quite a few beta users. We had a beta program running. We have commitments from a handful of clients, existing clients, that we're going to roll out the first production version, looking at the moment towards the end of the month. So we're quite optimistic about that, polishing up the last few things. So in December, we're going to be rolling out that first version. We are still at a point where it's fairly early days. So we're going to be getting all that feedback with them, validating everything we've discussed with them so far, making sure that it works in all the different customer scenarios, all the different technical scenarios deployed out there. That's one thing that's really difficult to do with products that integrate with other products, is making sure that it works in all these different scenarios. We can only do as much testing internally. We've done a bit of testing within the Microsoft 365 community, but we're going to be doing the rollout and practical testing in action, in production, with about 5 clients over the next few months once we actually make it available and ship it in the beginning of the.
That's exciting. So what does the pricing structure look like for the product?
So we are going to be looking at a per user. There's a combination of features and a combination of parameters to determine the pricing. There's a minimum price per tenant. So a tenant is a Microsoft container per organization. So that tenant pricing. And then there's also pricing per user, per active user who actually is going to be logging on and using these pipelines to request workspaces and to manage those workspaces. So it's going to vary quite a bit dependent on that. Our entry-level pricing for tenants are going to be around about $150 US. But depending on your users, that's going to be probably for a tenant with about 500 users, it's going to be the pricing. The pricing will ramp up quite steeply, as you go to 1,000, 5,000, and 10,000 and so forth users. So we're going to have tiers for that. We're currently still fleshing that out. So this is because it's a pre-revenue product, we're focusing right now on making sure that it's 100% functional and 100% does the job for what we needed to do within that set of clients. So those clients are actually not going to be paying for it right now. I don't want to call it a beta phase 2, but it is almost a next step in just getting it out there and getting the use there and doing the validation on the specific set of features that we built for it. So yeah, that's where we are at the moment.
So in terms of pricing, it'll be like $150 per user per month. Is that correct?
No, so that'll be a minimum of $150 US for the tenant for a certain bracket of users. So for roughly 500 users, you're going to be looking at that amount, but then there'll be a per user amount, which will increase. The user amount, we're not quite settled yet on the figure for that, but it'll be low. It'll be like $1 per user or something like that. That still needs to be fleshed out.
Makes sense. So in terms of for 2024, like, what is the revenue goal that you're trying to get to for this product?
That's a hard question. So we are pretty much, I don't want to say, like, using the word validation is not quite appropriate, because we validated the concept is fully validated already. We know it's there. We are going to be competing with a couple of players in the market already. We want to make sure that we get to by the middle of 2024 to at least 15,000-20,000 monthly revenue. So MR, $15,000-$20,000.
Awesome. So what do you think is the biggest challenge that's preventing you from getting to that goal in the middle of next year?
So there are a couple of things. It's technically, it's turned out quite a hard thing to do technically, and because it involves so much integration with the Microsoft systems. We've got a handle on that now, but that took quite a while to flesh out. But I think the main thing is actually just finding those customers. I think everyone knows this is the hard thing to do, is once you've got a product, selling it. We are fortunate that I think we know that we are able to target and to segment our market really well, because we know where the people that are going to use this product hang out. We know what those groups are. We know what those forums are. We know what those WhatsApp groups are, et cetera, et cetera. So we're able to reach out to them directly quite nicely. And we know exactly who to contact. So we're going to be doing a lot of cold outreach to just get people on board and just get them using it. I think that's an advantage that we have compared to something that's less niche and that's more open, you know, B2C, or not even B2C, but B2B, that's got a very, very wide audience and a potentially huge market. It could be anyone in your market. We know exactly who our users are. And the community is quite tight-knit, the Microsoft 365 community. So we've got quite a big network that we've built up, or quality network, not a big network, quality network we've built up over the years with quite a few people at Microsoft themselves, quite a few fellow partners who we work with. So we're just going to be working our relationships and our network that we have, and just keep people on board, just get them to try it out and get them to, and walk them through it, handhold them through it, and get them on board and seeing how it goes. That's going to be a challenging thing to do, obviously. I think the more challenging part is going to be once we've exhausted that initial sort of, you know, close network, doing the actual cold outreach. I see, absolutely, it's sales. I see a lot of volume and a lot of churn in sales outreach and communication there. That's the name of the game. That's SaaS. That's what we signed up for.
Makes sense. So how do you plan to, I mean, obviously, like, you're essentially running two companies. You mentioned 80% of the time is more for the product side. So how do you focus on both? Like, are you planning on like scaling both in parallel? Or do you have a co-founder that's helping essentially manage your other consulting company? Like, what does that look like for you?
I'm very fortunate that I've got a really good co-founder. We've been business partners for 20 years. So he's taken we've taken the approach of that he's primarily driving the consulting business, and I'm focusing primarily on this. So I'm still involved that 20% with the consulting business, but he drives, his is just, you know, the other way around. It's actually 90% of his time is spent on that, on the consulting side. So it's a great situation to be in. We know that it's a good team sort of set up to do that, to tackle that. So yeah, I'm largely focused on this. I think 80% is about an accurate figure on that.
Awesome. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started working on this product?
This is something which I knew and I still didn't listen to. And I think a lot of founders have this issue, is like, go easy on the number of features and just focus on the core stuff. Don't get carried away just like building really cool stuff and carrying on building really cool stuff. Just get what you've built, the basic stuff you built, working first, before you get excited about the feature backlogs and the roadmap and all of that. So I think we could have, you know, in hindsight, we could have gone to market a little bit earlier, but we're at this point where we are now. We're really happy with the functionality that we have, and we're going to provide some new functionality out there that I think the competition doesn't have. So that's the flip side of the coin. But yeah, hold back a bit, you know, hold the reins in. I think that's a tricky thing to do, but in hindsight, probably I would have done that.
Makes sense. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, just best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So for SP Robot, you can have a look at sprobot.io. So SharePoint Robot, SP Robot. That's the product site. For the consulting, for Microsoft 365, bsolve.co.za. I know the American ZA, not in South African English. That's where we do the consulting work. And on LinkedIn, you can find me, Martin Hutting, on LinkedIn. I don't have Twitter. I don't use Twitter, or X, sorry, either one. But LinkedIn is probably the easiest way to get hold of me.
Awesome. Well, Martin, thank you so much for your time, and we're rooting for you.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Great. Thanks. Nice meeting you. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.